Namihi Nui and a very good morning to you, Auckland. It's 5 minutes past nine and you're listening to 104.6 Planet FM and Keep Auckland Beautiful. I'm really excited this morning. It's my very first live interview by phone on the radio. So, barring any technical difficulties, I'd like to welcome my guest for today, Manukau Ward Councillor Alf Filippini. Let's see if I can make this work. Good morning, Alf. Are you there? No, you're not. Stand by. Good morning. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the show. We managed to make the technology work. I'm so thrilled to have you on board this morning.
Thank you so much for the invite, Rick. Thank you.
One of the things I'd like to talk about today is the new red bin rollout across South Auckland. Now, it's been, roughly 4 weeks since it kicked off?
Mm-hmm.
How's it going?
It's going really, really well. So in the old Manukau City Council areas where the bins have been rolled out, but, you know, when you get to a point where you've had 108,000 bins delivered to our residents in the old Manukau area and only 10% of people putting out their rubbish bags in the first week and 5% the second. Look, it is going really, really well, and look, I big ups and praises to our old to the Manukau team out there for the rollout, to our communications, our waste team. You know, it's been awesome. So look, I'm just so glad that it's happened.
Well, I know that the waste team at Auckland Council put an enormous amount of effort into communications, as you say, just trying to get that message out. So 10% in week one, 5% in week two, it sounds like it's doing exactly, well, actually going out exactly according to plan.
Yeah, it really has. You know, we've still got sort of, some logistical sort of stuff that we have to do, like, you know, getting the bigger bins to families and to people who wish the 240 bin. But look, yeah, 10 and 5% in the first 2 weeks has been awesome. I mean, I live in Margate Bridge, and sort of seeing the bins out on the first week was awesome. And you're right, the communications team and the Manukau, the staff at Manukau Civic Centre, it has been. And, you know, we all know why, because we want to get these bags off our roads and, you know, to the animals getting to them, and it just looks messy. It does clean up the place. It really does.
It does indeed. As somebody who's very busy in the litter space, going from bags to bins should make a huge difference from a litter standpoint.
Oh, definitely. And I mean, you know, I looked at in the old days, I used to travel down to Otahuhu Police Station, and I saw the bins in the Otahuhu, the old Auckland City Council area, and, you know, it was like, geez, it's clean, you know, there's no rubbish. But, you know, for us, it has now, it looks really good, and people putting out the red bin. It is so cool, Rick. It really is.
Now, historically, you used to buy the bags, correct, from your local grocer?
No, not in the old Manukau area.
Right, that's why I'm just asking the question. Yeah. So it's always been, well, not free, it's covered by your rates.
Exactly, and so I know they have it out West Auckland and some other areas in the old areas, and they used to buy their bags. They had to be certain bags, but for us, was in the rate, so...
Right. So, correct me if I'm wrong, the only people who would have to pay at the moment are people who want the larger 240 bin, correct?
Yes. If they want the 240 bin, and that's $55 a year.
Right.
The 240 bin.
So it's like just a little extra on your rates.
Yeah, look, and what, It is. And I mean, I think it worked out to about 17 cents a day.
Right.
But, you know, that's up to, even with our people who are landlords, and not through Housing New Zealand, but our landlords, you know, they have the ability to pay $55. So, and $240 bin, that is just, again, that's very good, I believe.
Right. Now, I know the waste team has been out there doing a lot of education, because for a number of families, I mean, you've always been able to put out as many bags as you like. And there's a lot of households with a lot of members, and so there's a lot of rubbish going out. And are you getting much feedback from families who say the 120 bin is just too small, or are people figuring it out?
Well, they're definitely figuring it out. And then once they know that, look, the bin is too small, that's when they approach the landlord from a Housing New Zealand perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Housing New Zealand, but our team again, our waste team, have been talking to Housing New Zealand around an arrangement for our families and the bigger families around the bin. So, you know, those are still continuing, but... You know, there's a policy that Housing New Zealand have, and it's their policy, but where applicable, the Housing New Zealand will supply the two 240 bins to the families. And, you know, that's according to their policy.
Right. Now, do the families down there already have the 240 recycling bin?
Down at Housing New Zealand, or...?
Well, just in South Auckland... You know, this red bin rollout area, do they already have the big recycle bins?
No, look, the only recycling bins, the big ones obviously is for the recycling, but in regards to our rubbish bins, the 120 is gets delivered straight away. For those that wish the 240, they then ring up Auckland Council and request a 240, and that's when all the details get taken down around
$55
payment. So... That's when the 240 will be delivered and the 120 uplifted.
Gotcha. And here's a question for you. How is South Auckland receiving that new campaign about illegal dumping, the beautiful people of South Auckland?
Look, at the moment, and I've been on 531 PI, just going through that. So, I mean... Because it's slowly being rolled out, and we're telling people, and this is why I'm, you know, in regards to Planet FM, thank you so much for getting this out as well. But, you know, I'm hearing just a few people in the community say, now, what is this all about? And I'm saying, well, you know, our statistics, and I mean, those stats, numbers are numbers for me, but I know that there's been a heck of a lot of illegal dumping, so... Having our community come on board with this campaign is awesome. It sort of highlights our people in that area, saying, don't spoil our area. Don't bring your rubbish to our area. There are other ways of getting the rubbish that you have into the right places, but just don't dump them on our streets.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I was very pleased to learn about a month ago at an illegal dumping workshop with council employees and staff and whatnot was that illegal dumping in South Auckland has been declining, steeply declining, over the last 5 years. And that it's vastly improved to how it was 5 years ago. So we have to throw out any old stereotypes we might have in our brains. And I just think the Beautiful People of South Auckland campaign is awesome, because the idea, of course, is to keep it that way.
Totally agree. And I mean, you know, for me, I always like to sort of compare years by years. And for example, you know, I mean, 15-16, the year, you know, the year 15-16.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we had 500 and sort of just under 576 tons of rubbish dumped in Manukau. That's, you know, 576, just under. And then we've got this year, anyway, we've got 522, just over. So, you know, that look, for me, 53 tons of rubbish getting out of that area, that is awesome. We've got a long, long way to go. And for me, you know, look, it's just saying, look, people, don't dump in your area, our area. Just, you know, you know where you can take the rubbish that you have. And, I mean, look, that's even with businesses. You know, that's a heck of a lot for Manukau.
That's right. That's right. Now, I had the privilege of working with the Otara Waterways Trust earlier this year, and they did a neat streets function, and they knocked on every door for like five blocks and said, we're going to have a party, bring your stuff. And it didn't all just go into a skip. There was Habitat for Humanity and the Roots Collective and Keep Auckland Beautiful, who I work for, and a whole bunch of volunteers. And people just turned up with all their stuff. And I'll tell you what, a third of it, Habitat for Humanity said, we'll have that. There's a family that needs that. Another chunk of it, the Roots Collective said, we'll have that and we'll repair it. And you can either take it home or we'll pass it on to somebody who needs it. And all this stuff came out that might have ended up illegally dumped, but it wasn't. And it was a great community buzz. It was a wonderful day. And actually, it was the people of Otara who responded.
Oh, and you know, there's one thing, Rick, that you've mentioned there, which is, you know, which is so underestimated, and that's our volunteers. They yep. are just so underestimated because, you know, our community out there don't really know how many volunteers we have and volunteer organizations like the one, you know, that you belong to, Rick. But, you know, I just a big, big thank you to all our volunteers, to our organizations, because, you know, people, I don't know, I think people just say, oh, look, it gets done. Yeah, but it gets done because of the volunteers that we have. And, you know, just people just so passionate about our environment, and this is why I totally agree with you around the campaign. It's an awesome campaign. It's actually against some of the people that our staff spoke to, you know, who were, and I use the word were, illegal dumpers, but, you know, we spoke to them and said, well, what do you think we should do? Because,
I know,
you know it's crazy because the two main types of our material, and this is one I wanted to get out to our community, is household items, you know, mattresses, furniture, inorganic, domestic waste, like household rubbish. That's the two main types.
That's right.
And it's like, well, you know, let's get our recycling, let's get our environmental hat on our community. And that's why I thank the groups like the group you belong to and their volunteers for what they do.
Well, to be honest, on the day, I was more of a cheerleader than anything else because the community was actually doing it. It was a community event run by the community, and that's why it worked. That's why it worked. And the volunteers I would shout out to were the Roots Collective folks.
Yes, know them.
And they had a number of young people there repairing all kinds of things. They repaired furniture, bikes, even a few electronic goods. And these kids were right into it. And they had a mentor there saying, hey, why don't you try this? Let's do it this way. And just seeing a whole bunch of junk actually turn around in a couple of hours into treasure was fabulous.
Oh, look, and Rick, you know, you mentioned our team from Roots. I remember when I chaired the culture, the Arts, Culture and Events Committee of the last 6 years, but I remember going over to the shore to one of our art centres and seeing an exhibition by Roots over the North Shore and how they used our plastic bottles to put on an exhibition. It was amazing, and knowing the knowing the Roots team from Mōtara, so you know, sort of South Auckland proud. So yeah, it was really cool. So yeah, just big ups to our volunteers and to our organisations, Rick.
Yeah, and one last note about the Beautiful People of South Auckland campaign is everybody photographed in those images is from South Auckland, which is as it should be. And some of them, I understand, have illegally dumped in the past, and were actually part of doing that survey work with Auckland Council and understanding how and why this has happened in the past and how it can be prevented in the future. And to me, that's just it's just a sign of engaging the community properly.
Talking to the people and asking them why helps at least the council helps them realize, hey, look, we need them to approach it a different way or different ways. So. No, it is. I mean, always go to the people that are doing it to get ideas to try and solve it. And you know, even with our waste minimization bill, you know, policy, our plan around that, you know, look, go to the community and having them there sort of helping, that is cool.
It is, and I think the success of that program, we'll see it rolled out in different ways in other communities around Auckland. I think we're, about 2 years away from finally being unified with all having the same waste collection system? Is that about right, about 2 years away?
Yes, we are. It's about 2020. We're hoping, to be everything and consistent across the Tāmaki Makaurau. I mean, you know, Papakura waste, they're getting the kitchen waste, the food waste bin. So, you know, look, I just think it's just so cool where we're heading in regard to our waste, and really to reduce as much as the that we can get to the dump. It is so cool. Just going back again, Rick, if you don't mind, I just want to go back to our rollout with the red bins. But those houses that ended up having the bags outside, our team would go and visit them because you just clicked in my head around visiting them and saying, look, this is what we're doing, and this is what you can do around reducing your rubbish So, yeah,
this,
Rick, it's been awesome.
It has been. It's been really exciting. And it's amazing to me, councillors, I guess it was about 4 years ago, it was after amalgamation, you guys voted for zero waste by 2040, is it?
Yeah, I think 2040, 2050, we get zero waste. It's just, let's head that way.
Well, and this is a step in that direction. Now, I also understand we've got, 7 or 8 minutes left. I also understand, I've learned that you chair the committee that runs the Southern Initiative. Am I right about that?
Yeah, it's the steering group.
And
then what's so cool with the steering group is that we have our local boards, our chairs of the local boards there, the councillors that represent the wards.
Right.
We've got mana whenua, people of the area. Then we've got mata waka, which are people that are not from the area, but are obviously part of South Auckland. We've got them. We've got government departments like MB. We've got the police. We got our staff there, you know, Gail Surgina and her team. And
right. Well, what's
amazing.
What's the elevator pitch for what the Southern Initiative is doing?
It's really trying to address what we all know around education, around employment, around housing, but getting everybody around the same table, looking at projects, initiatives that we can end up putting in the South Auckland area. And, you know, even with our co-design lab from the government, having them there within the Southern Initiative office at Manukau, you know, and I remember when I was on Manukau City Council in 2003, and, you know, our Tomorrow's Manukau, Manukau Apopo, was all around addressing the inequality that we saw in South Auckland. You know, just having a look and seeing how the council can help with working with government, with government sector, with working with their our NGOs, and this is what we're doing now. It's, you know, the work they're doing around our trades training, with even roots, with our housing, our early childhood.
Am I understanding it right? Is this pretty much about breaking down the silos between all those different groups who are all trying to do the right thing, but often are trying to fix one little bit and not really taking the big picture into account?
Yeah, look, that's definitely the goal, because this is why we have so many people in the steering group, and it's everybody. In regards to, you know, government and our local board, our Māori, getting our advisory panels and getting our community around us and saying, look, are we heading in the right direction? And who else should be at least working with Gail and her team that do the real work out there? And it is. It's breaking down those silos, so we're all on the same page, and it's doing really, really awesome work out there.
What has the Southern Initiative got coming up? Anything new coming up in this fiscal year?
Well, that's the best thing with us is the fact that, as you know, and I don't know, Rick, but the Auckland Plan set up the Southern Initiative as a transformational. They had seven sort of lines that we said... areas that we said, look, we need to address them. So what happens is that Gail will end up coming to the steering group and saying, look, we think working with our communities, our government agencies, co-design lab, we think we should concentrate on A, B, or C. So coming up, it's still all about education. It's still all about early childhood education. It's still about jobs for our area in the Southern Initiative. It is still around, you know, Transform Manukau, being part of that, where we're trying to develop our Manukau area for our community. It's looking at the Manukau bus interchange and connecting with the railway that we have at the Manukau Spur. For us, it's continuing the good work that we've been doing over the last few years, and it's really enhancing that. Even with Te Papa Manukau, it's, you know, still there, being part of the whole development in our Southern Initiative area. So Rick, when you ask about whether there's any new initiatives, we're continuing the journey that we're on now and making big strides in regard to that with government, with our community, with Māori, it's just I'm so positive looking ahead with the Southern Initiative. Rick.
Right. Well, here's a question for you. And now, I've just had my 25th anniversary of emigrating to New Zealand, so I'm an immigrant.
Yeah.
When I first arrived, it was weary, and there wasn't a lot happening down there, but people were saying, no, we're going to make this Manukau City. This is going to be Manukau City Centre, and it's going to develop. Now, that's come and gone in fits and starts over the 25 years I've been here. But just in the last, let's say, decade, as you say, since the train...
railway spur, yeah.
The railway spur, everything seems to actually be happening. It's going to be another major city centre, isn't it? I mean... That's the direction we're going in. The city does have to go up. The city, the super city, has to go up. And I think Manukau City Central is going to be one of those places that goes off in the next decade. Do you see it that way?
Oh, look, it's happening now, Rick. That's the best thing with Transform Manukau. Transform Manukau, if you look, there's our documents out there around what we want to achieve in the whole of the Manukau. And, you know, way back in the day, again, when I was on council, we were the second largest territorial local authority. We were
That's
the
right.
second largest in New Zealand. And then we became the third behind Christchurch. But, you know, we had the two of the three largest in New Zealand in the Tamaki Makaurau. So Manukau was always destined to be an area that you could say, look, this is a city. You know, we've got Waitakere, we've got North Shore, we've got, you know, the CBD, but you've also, and people won't forget this, but we've also got the Manukau City as well. And Transform Manukau, Rick, and you're right, this is what we're going to do. That's our strategic document around Manukau and what we want to do, and it's the work that we want to do through Pānuku, which is, you know, our council-controlled organisation.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yep, through them, honestly, Rick, if you have a look at the document, there is some awesome stuff in, on the environmental theme is looking at the Puhunui stream. Mm-hmm. How the heck can we now look at that and look after it but regenerate it? And that's what we want to do from an environmental perspective. Again, working with our community, working with government, working with Māori. You know, Transform Manukau. There's our document out there, and it tells you what we're going to do in the next 10, 15 years in Manukau. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. You know, it really is. I'm quite positive in regards to our Manukau area and working with our local boards. Our local boards is that's the governance of Tamaki Makaurau, is the governing body, the councillors, as worship the mayor, and our local boards. That's the governance structure. You know, it's going to be so cool.
Is it working for you? Now, you know, I don't want to get horribly political because I'm not really a political show. Do you think the local board governing body structure is working for South Auckland?
You know, like most things, there's a few sort of hiccups, but it's a matter of, again, talking together. We've got a piece of work that's coming through to the governing body, the governance review. So, you
right.
know, that'll be good to put out to our community to have a look around looking at the structure that we've now got in front of us. From my perspective, I was always skeptical around having one big Tamaki Makaurau.
Right.
I mean, you know, I still share some skepticism, and I will always do that because, you know, the people in the old Manukau City Council, those was just so passionate around where we were heading.
Yeah.
But look, where we are heading at the moment, and again, go back to today, the environmental stuff around our streets, the illegal dumping, the bins rollout, you know, that's just making our community look better.
Well, councillor, I'm afraid we're literally got about 10 seconds left. That's all right. I just want to say thank you before I cut you off. Thank you so much for coming on today.
That's all right, Rick, and thanks, Planet FM. That was just so cool. Thank you so much for what you do and continue to do.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks for listening.
Okay, then,
Rick. If you've missed anything in today's program, don't forget, you can listen again online at any time. PlanetAudio.org.